Shabbat Shalom. Today's Parsha is Parsha Shemot, and it's found in Exodus 1:1 through Exodus 6:1.
And here's the verse that we read in Hebrew.
These are the names of the son of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. Each came with his family. And we're going to read till verse 4 just to have context. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and thank you for your Shabbat, and I pray that we'll just be able to enter into your peace. And I thank you for your word that you have given us, and I pray that you would just give me the words to say, and that these words will just be engraved on our hearts. And in your name. So we are going to focus on chapter 2, but let's have a quick sum up of the story so far. So there was a massive famine plaguing basically the entire world at this time, well, a little time before this. And in the midst of this, through some dramatic circumstances, Joseph arrives in Egypt, and the Lord saves the day through him. Then all of Joseph's family come and live with him in the best part of Egypt. And that's what this verse here deals with. And then they lived happily ever after. Until the Pharaoh died. Exodus picks up here, as can be read in chapter 1 through 2. The new Pharaoh doesn't care or know where all these Hebrews come from. He just sees them as a threat. So he makes them all slaves, and they live as slaves in the land of Egypt to the Egyptians. But then, when they continue to increase in number, and they're continuing to multiply, it hasn't fazed them at all. He takes things a step further and starts killing all their sons. Moses is born at this volatile time and is spared by the efforts of his mother and sister. Excuse me. And he grows up in Pharaoh's household. When Moses is grown, he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, and he isn't going to stand for it, so he kills that taskmaster. And then, because he killed him, he eventually ends up fleeing to Midian, and we'll come back to him later in the Parsha. But let's see what the Israelites, how the Israelites are holding up in Egypt. In chapter 2, verse 23 and through 25, it says, "After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor, and they cried out. And their cry for help ascended to God because of the difficult labor. So God heard their groaning, and he remembered their covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the Israelites, and he took notice." The old Pharaoh dies, but Israel's situation hasn't changed at all. They're still slaves. They're still working for the Egyptians, and they still don't have pretty much any freedom. So they groan out in the deepest part of their being, and their cry for help, maybe in desperation, maybe they have lost all faith, but we have this promise, and we hold to it, that he is faithful even when we are faithless. Even if the Israelites maybe lost faith, God is still faithful to his promises. Later, Yeshua himself says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. But even the hairs of your head have been counted. So therefore, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." So don't lose hope or faith. The Lord of all the universe takes notice of you and me. He's not too busy to count your hair, so it is a safe bet he's not too busy to answer when we call. Remember, he is high above and far above all things, but also with the lowly and contrite of heart. He knows every tear we cry, and he holds them all in his hands. Yeah, Yeshua was acquainted with sorrows. He was acquainted with our sorrows, our griefs, our burdens. He bore them aforetime. But not only does Adonai know and hear our groans, but he will also, and is, and did, come to the rescue. He will redeem those who are not worthy to be redeemed, us. See, the Lord, he loves us with this unfathomable love, and we don't really deserve it at all, but still he does. One day, all this pain and sorrow and grief will just be forgotten, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Can you hear the desire of his heart in these verses? Chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. It says, "Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, Israelites, or not Israelites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. The Israelites' cry to help has come to me, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." This unwavering love he has for Israel, the shoot from which our redemption will come, and from us to the entire world, that love is for you and me. This is a love that will never dry up. Chapter 3 and 11 through 12 says, "But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring Israelites out of Egypt? The Lord answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this mountain." The Lord's patience is as vast as his love. Through the rest of this chapter and much of the next, God explains in detail the entire plan and that for how he's going to save the Israelites. He shows miraculous signs to Moses, and yet Moses did not get it. In chapter 4, 10 through 13, it says, Moses said, "Please, Lord," Okay, 10. "But Moses replied to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently, or since you have been speaking with me, because I am slow and hesitant in speech." The Lord said to him, "Who made the human mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." Moses said, "Please, Lord, send someone else." We, like Moses, don't understand sometimes that it is not about our own puny ability. It is about saying yes when the Lord says go. It's about faith, trusting what the Lord says we can do. With God, all things are possible. In our weakness, he is strong. I love what the Lord says to Moses in verse 11. He says, it's just there. "Who made the human mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" So this morning, I want to ask a question, as much to you as to myself. Don't you believe the chief cornerstone can support and hold up one tiny part of his building? Shabbat shalom.